Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given either by the announcer or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, the 1980s will surely be remembered as the decade when so many Spirit-led projects failed. The fall of Jim Baker with his PTL empire and Heritage USA will long be remembered. Jim Baker could hardly speak without referring to what the Spirit was leading him to do. His explanation for the collapse of his empire was, and I quote, "God has me on a roller coaster ride." Oral Roberts built his $150 million City of Faith, quote, "on direct orders from God," end of quote. Roosevelt Greer and Rex Humbard and Pat Robertson attended the dedication. Barbara Mandrell sung the national anthem and President Reagan sent a congratulatory letter. But further, in 1983, the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper reported that Roberts had sent out, quote, "millions of letters saying Jesus appeared to him and told him God had chosen Roberts to find the cure for cancer," end of quote. That was in January 18, 1983. The Nashville Tennessean, the newspaper, had a news item in that its September 15, 1989 edition that said, and I quote, "Roberts announced Wednesday the City of Faith Hospital will be closed by the end of the year, and the Oral Roberts University School of Medicine will close after the current year," end of quote. I don't have an update as to whether or not the hospital actually closed, but it's apparent that Roberts was expecting failure in that which the Holy Ghost had supposedly led him to do. Then there's Jimmy Swaggart, was once called by Newsweek the King of Honky Tonk Heaven. He raised $142 million in just 1 year. That was in 1989. But because of sexual misconduct, his ministry is also floundering. An article by Bill Cruz in the Park Forest Proclaimer reports that the number of Swaggart TV viewers has fallen 83% and that enrollment in his college declined from 1,451 to 419. That was in 1990. Throughout the buildup of his ministry, it was Swaggart who credited God for the growth that had taken place. But you know, these examples of Spirit-led projects that have gone awry are truly signs of the times in which we're living. We frequently hear people claiming that the Spirit is leading them to do this or to do that. Often the very activity in which the Spirit is supposedly leading them is contrary to the teaching of the Spirit-inspired Scriptures. And I believe there are several things that we can observe at this point. One is, the Spirit on occasions did directly lead men of the first century into specific fields of labor. We know that the Spirit told Philip to join the eunuch in his chariot in Acts 8 and verse 29. And then we know that the Spirit caught Philip away after that he had baptized the eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 39. We know that the Spirit told Peter to go with the messengers that Cornelius had sent in Acts 10, verses 19 and 20. We find that the Spirit gave the orders for the beginning of the first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas undertook in Acts 13, the first four verses. In fact, we find that the Holy Spirit forbid Paul to preach in Asia and Bithynia as he traveled west on his second journey. But then, through a vision, he directed Paul's feet toward Macedonia. We read about this in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Another observation is that whenever the Spirit did directly lead men in the first century, the results were always favorable. The eunuch was baptized and went on his way rejoicing, Acts 8, verses 38 and 39. Cornelius and those with him that were converted became the first fruits among the Gentiles, in Acts 10, verses 44 through 48. We know that Paul's first missionary journey resulted in much fruit, and when he went into Macedonia on his second journey, his work resulted in the beginning of churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and in Berea. A third observation we can notice is that the Spirit did not so completely take over the lives of men in the first century that every move that was made by them was Spirit-led, as that term has become to be such a buzzword today. More often, they were left to make their own decisions and plans. For instance, plans for the second journey was formulated in the minds of Paul and Barnabas. And when they went separate ways, Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. This we read in Acts 15, verses 39 through 41. Had the Holy Spirit directed that Paul and Barnabas go on this journey, so he did on the first, and they would have been defying his directions in going separate ways. But these were their plans, and they had every right to change their plans. Later, we know that Paul made his own plans to go to Rome and to Spain after the completion of his third journey. And he asked the Romans to pray that he could come to them, quote, with joy by the will of God. Romans 15, verses 23 through 33. Had these plans been made through the directions of the Spirit, you know, our faith might well be shaken, for these plans did go awry. But they were Paul's own plans which fell through, just as some of our plans fall through. But another observation we can make in all of this is that the tragic failure of Spirit-led projects that we have seen in our generation is proof that they were not truly instigated by the Holy Spirit. Had the Spirit truly instigated them, they would have been successful. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, we're told, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." But to another observation, is the Spirit does lead us in various fields and activities through the revealed Word, leading us through the directions that He gave to the inspired men of the first century. You know, as we read the Spirit's directions to Peter to go to Cornelius, the Spirit is leading us to go to people to all races without prejudice. So we read of the Spirit's directions to Paul not to turn aside into Asia and Bithynia. He is leading us to ever-expanding territories in our world. As we read of the Lord's encouragement to Paul in his time of despair in Corinth, He's encouraging us in our time of despair. It's in Acts chapter 18. We read these words beginning with verse 9.
Now the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Another observation we can make is that we do believe that God continues to work within our lives, choosing our changes on occasions, but his providential working should not be confused with the direct leading of the Spirit that we read about in the first century. Paul wrote of certain ones in his day who were inflated without cause, taking their stand on visions they had seen, rather than holding to the head. He mentioned this when he wrote to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 2. Notice what we read in verse 18 and 19. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all of the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And of course we know, as Christians, who our head is. Our head is Christ. Such people always seem to take on an air of superiority, lightly regarding those who simply take their stand on revealed and confirmed truth. See, Paul did not want the Colossians to be intimidated by such people in his day. And, by the same token, we must not be intimidated by such people in our day. Friends, the Spirit leads, but he leads through the Word that he has revealed. When we all fully realize that the Scriptures are the product of the Holy Spirit, and that whatever we read in the Scriptures is the Spirit talking, speaking to us, teaching us, and leading us, then, friends, most of our problems concerning the Holy Spirit will vanish. It's in 2 Timothy that we read in chapter 3, of these words. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we see then that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles, inspired the apostles to write the things that we have written in the New Testament. Therefore, when we read the New Testament, we're reading the Spirit that has searched the mind of God to reveal unto us, through these apostles and the writing that they did, the will of God. The will of God for you and I today. That's how God has revealed his will. That's how this Holy Spirit guides us today. Not directly, not separate and apart from the Word, not through a dream, not through some better felt and told feeling, not through a still small voice that oftentimes you hear people talk about, but it has to be a matter of what is written. That's what our faith needs to be based on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John 17:17. So it is then that we must heed what the Spirit has revealed in the pages of the New Testament. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.